And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup coming our way here. We're having a great show. If you're just catching us here, didn't catch the first hour, we were supposed to have our buddy Captain Ryan Stahl from the Game Changer, and he unfortunately had a little incident come up that he had to deal with and so wasn't able to join us this morning. So you got Corey and I. Pete is going to be having a great time. He is up with our first day of our first annual Queen Charlotte Safari trip. And
I can't imagine the time they're going to have. It's been shut down for a year and a half in the first group.
Yeah. How cool was that
the
timing?
First group.
Yeah. There should be some great fishing there, and we're really looking forward to hearing how the fishing in BC goes. And it sounds like the preliminary swap, you know, Valerie was talking with some of her captains who were kind of getting the lay of the land, and sounds like really good salmon fishing. And then the opportunities at the killer rockfish and lingcod and halibut, it's going to be a great trip. And we'll very much look forward to hearing Pete's report when he gets back next week with us. But in the meantime, we're having a lot of fun, just Corey and I. We're hanging out. We're talking fishing. We're talking to you, telling stories, talking shop. This show is all about you. So if you want to join us this morning, we want to hear from you.
I know, and it's such a good time, Rick. Give us a shout at 213-432-1090. We're giving away an awesome assortment of Seaguar fluorocarbon, which hopefully some of it includes that gold, because it is like gold.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, definitely. Or you can text us. Send a text via the app.
Yeah.
Super simple.
Speaking of the app, we've had a lot of great texts coming through. Keep those coming. Easy download to get that Let's Talk Hookup app. And, Corey, we had a question coming through for you from Dan in Carpinteria. Actually, kind of a combo. Dan and Brad both asked the same thing. And it's about lead head color and whether you like a plain lead head or if you like to add color to the lead head. If so, what that is. And then also, do you think that the lead head eyeball color makes a difference?
Yeah.
Or having an eyeball at all? Kind of a mix of questions from both Brad and Dan.
Yeah, those are great questions. And with a swim bait and a slower presentation, the eyeball, I think, is key.
Really? Okay.
You know, I'll go on a branch.
No, I like
right?
it. Yeah.
But if you're using, like, a lead-headed slug and it's all visual as far as reactionary,
mm-hmm.
like just the movement of the lure and zigging and zagging on a lead head and popping and hopping and going to the left, going to the right, that is so just a reactionary, like,
I'm going
to kill you kind of thing.
Right.
It has nothing to do with an eyeball. But however, the only color that I have seen make a difference, you ready, is a chartreuse or a bright yellow lead head on a bait fish, semi-clear color.
Mm-hmm.
Like a blue grunion color with a chartreuse lead head is magic. I have no idea I know it works.
Yeah. Can't give the reason, but you can sure give the result.
Yeah. Other than that, I just use a plain lead, or you know, maybe match a nice brown with a brown bait or something like that if you want to get technical. But that chartreuse with a clearish bait fish, like blue grunion pattern, it's magic.
Now, when do you fish that? You're rolling up to the kelp line. What makes you fish a chartreuse and a clear bait versus your browns and reds and greens?
Rolling up to the kelp, I'm probably going to be fishing 100% of what I do is up on the surface,
mm-hmm.
in the top 2 feet of the water column, and usually weedless and in nature. But if I'm fishing the bay, if I'm fishing eelgrass, I'm fishing maybe a spot in 80 feet of water, but the fish are suspended 20 feet off the bottom, that lead-headed slug is an absolute killer.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to get them for sure on that scenario. And that's where I'm using a bait fish pattern. The cleaner the water, the more I'm going to the lead-headed slug. If the water's a little dirty and colder, I want to slow it down. That's where the swim bait's coming in, and I hope that helps Brad.
Yeah, that's
right out in the whole scenario.
That's great, Dove. Well, guys, again, appreciate the text very much. The phones are packed solid. If you want to get through, we're going to be taking a lot of phone calls in the second hour. That's for you, 213-432-1090. Corey, let's jump into the phones.
Let's do it, Rick. How about Mike? Mike from Rosemead. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning.
Rick and Corey. Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. Pardon the pun about that chartreuse. That is my go-to color when I'm out there fishing a kelp line or, you know, in the weed beds there. Just seems to be the magical color. Well, anyway, I went out on Wednesday and out of Dana Point, and it was kind of a bluefin situation where they just disappear, you know. And so we traveled a lot, and then we ended up going, they disappeared on us, and saw the fleet way out in the horizon between the east end of Catalina and probably San Clemente, but a little bit farther out of our range. But anyway, it still was nice to be out there, but bluefin being bluefin, sometimes they're just not around.
They are, buddy. Well, glad you had at least a good trip, and it sounds like a nice day on the water. And yeah, those things can definitely be frustrating, pulling the disappearing act. And then what is ultra frustrating about that fish is seeing the next day, same zone,
limit
fight
style.
Turn on. Yeah, I mean that's just how those things are. But it makes it so much special when you do get them. You know,
it does.
When you get a good score on bluefin, it means something. You know, you earn it, and you earn it by doing days like you just had. You know, going in a little frustrated and finding them. But glad you had a good trip for sure.
And you know, something I took from the show yesterday, Rick, listening to Paul Lepore, and was slow trolling the sardine. Like way back.
Yeah.
Like when you think it's back enough, go back a little bit further and just slow trolling the sardine way the heck back there.
The bluefin, for sure, they just don't like you around. You know, whatever that is. And obviously when they're really fired up, they'll let their guard down that much more. But when he was talking about putting baits back, that's huge. It gets tougher when the fleet gets more dense and there's more people around, but the farther back, if you're in a scenario where you are trolling or putting a lure back, for bluefins specifically, the farther that you can get that thing back, I mean forever back. You know, there's been a lot of guys getting bites trolling, you know, big things, big spreader bars or big cedar plug chains or things like that, and we're talking forever back, you know, half a 50 wide back, you know, in a multiple of 100 yards. Now that scenario doesn't present itself all the time. If there's, you know, 50 boats in an area that are all trying to grind everything up, you can't put something 300 yards behind your boat and drag it around. But you know, guys that are off on their own in areas of that big fish are seeing bites on trolling jigs. You know, a scenario that we haven't done much of. You know, there's not bluefin just notoriously don't bite the troll well.
You mentioned that, and here's a funny scenario. My neighbor Ryan actually caught a couple last week on a cedar plug.
There you go.
Trolling the cedar plug. I mean, how crazy is that, right? I mean, just a...
But there's bites to be had.
There is.
And I think we get so wrapped up in the, those things don't bite the jigs, they don't put them out, you know? Yeah. So There's some advantage to trolling, even though that fish doesn't traditionally bite the lures well. You can put them way back and potentially get bites. The other thing that it does in a small boat scenario is it forces you to drive around the ocean at a speed where you don't miss things. You know, and foamer fishing, which is high excitement and high energy and potentially very effective right now. You know, one of the advantages in a small boat is you can zip around and get from spot to spot real fast. But with zipping around, you miss things, too. And you're going to see a 100-yard square of whitewater foam. But if you're running at 20 knots and banging around in a skiff, you might miss a subtle breezer. And if you're forcing yourself to go at a nice, comfortable trolling speed, maybe you pick those things off a little bit more.
A lot cleaner.
Yeah. So
I agree with you, Rick.
Who's to say? I mean, I'm not saying that one is right and the other is wrong, but it's certainly something to think about.
Yeah, and those are all great scenarios. And just keeping your eye open and paying attention, like you're saying. I like it, Rick.
Totally. Hey, another, and again, appreciate the phone call, Mike, very much. A great text came through wanting to know, what is the smallest circle hook that would work for bluefin? I've been fishing the Mustad Demon 1 and looking for something even smaller. That's from John in San Clemente.
What do you think, Rick?
that hook is pretty small. I don't know that it's very safe to fish a much smaller hook than that. So that particular hook that John is talking about, that Mustad 1-0, it is a tiny 1-0.
Little circle.
It's not, you know, and not every hook, unfortunately, there's not like a standard in size. So the Mustad 1-0, the Owner 2, the Gamakatsu 4, those are not all the same.
Uniform.
You know, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And that hook that John is talking about, I don't think you can fish much smaller than that. That's getting pretty small.
So where do you go from there?
I think the smallest stealth hook that a guy could catch a school size bluefin with, you know, maybe a fish sub 50 pounds would be that Gamakatsu Nautilus number 4. I think that's the smallest hook that I'd still be comfortable if I got my bait picked up by a 40 pounder. That's the smallest hook that I'd still be comfortable with. But I'm a big hook guy. Like I think that, you know, that's a Tim Ekstrom thing that has always stuck with me over the years, and that's, you know, big hooks and heavy line are what put fish on the boat. Now, granted, you need to get a bite, so you know the right answer is always you want to be fishing the heaviest line and the biggest hook that you can still get a bite with. And sometimes that means going all the way down to 25 pound and a number 2 or a number 4. But
crazy.
You know, you just gotta, just like you were saying before, you gotta fish what they're willing to give you. But to answer John's question, I think the smallest hook a guy could get away with and still have some success would be that number 4 Nautilus Gamakatsu.
I like
that's
it.
That's my favorite. Well, let's jump back to the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Sam? Sam Cohn from Irvine. Welcome. Let's talk up, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Morning. Hey, I've been fishing on the bike charter class bluefin, but also like half day in it with friends in the kelp that, you know, aren't into that. And, you know, I threw a lot of Caddy 45s because I don't know how to fish the plastics, really. If you were, Corey, this is probably for you. If you were fishing on a half-day boat, you went with your buddies and were just, you know, killing time with them, how would you fish plastics on a half-day? You know, they anchor up and
sure,
in a spot there. How would you fish that boat?
Yeah, definitely, Sam. It's a little bit different from the private boat scenario where you can, you know, cover area and drift through the kelp. And the half-day boat scenario is different in the fact that you're susceptible to where they're going to anchor you up and where they're going to chum that fish. And a lot of times, like if you're fishing with Fred on the Daily Double or with Brian Woolley, you know, and the guys up there out of Dana, and they get you right, they back you up right into the kelp, and they get fropped up in that kind of scenario. It's very easy to throw the weedless and throw that kind of thing, but there's some guys that will anchor up maybe in 70, 80 feet of water, and there might be kelp, but it's subsurface, and the fish are suspended. It's a little bit different. I mean, you're going to go with a more of a lead-headed item, whether it be a viejos or a slug or that kind of thing. But you can make money using those darn weedless and reach areas that the other guys won't be able to throw a number 2 and 6-inch sardine into.
Fred always talks about when Philip, his son, comes on the boat fishing at that weedless and just putting it on a long rod and firing it back into an area that you just can't get a bait into and pulling fish out of there.
And that's where, you know, if the boat's catching 13 to 15 inches and having a good time, it's always that area and the thicker the kelp where you see the 2 to 4 pounder just chasing bait and getting frothed up. And that scenario, man, have that 5-inch or that 7-inch ready to go. You'll get them. There's a scenario for it.
Leadhead make a difference? Style of leadhead on a trip like that?
It's going to be more on the outside edge of the kelp, you know, like you can see single stringers. And I've done very well on the 5-inch slug on a leadhead.
Okay.
Exactly what we're talking about. That's our truce with a 5-inch baitfish pattern. Those smaller fish just go cuckoo for it, man. They can't handle it. They're chumming little chovy, and then here comes their next offering, and there's 5 fish fighting for it.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've roped them, you know, 15 in an hour doing that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Sam, great call. Appreciate that very much, man. Look forward to hearing how it goes on your next trip. We actually had a text from Pete. The boss was listening, and he texted via the Let's Talk Hookup at said, you know, he referred to himself as Pete from Vancouver. On the way to Queen Charlotte this morning, said it was a very, very easy flight into Vancouver. They landed yesterday evening, now getting ready to roll into Queen Charlotte Safari. So, well, Pete, glad you're listening, and he said it's a very easy listening via the app. It fired right through. So have a great trip, buddy. I know going to be a good time fishing with Harold Davis and all the Davis guys. And we hope you guys have a great trip. And again, we'll look forward to talking to him next week. And we got another special guy on the line right now. Our buddy Scott Sherman is on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sherm.
Guys, how you doing this morning? Great show. Lots of good information.
Thanks,
just
buddy.
Had a quick question. You know, could you guys discuss, you know, the proper way to fish kelp patty? You know, the patties are few and far between. You get out there and there's a lot of guys who want to come in and fish on the patty that you're on. And it can be done, but it's got to be done right. I mean, we were out the other day and a guy in a boat called us into his patty and we were working it and sliding it really well. And here comes another boat and he sets up right next to the patty upwind. And the next thing you know, his boat is actually parked on top of the kelp. He's got kelp all around him, and I just shut down the bite. Is there any way you guys could discuss the proper way to slide a patty?
Like kelp etiquette.
Yeah.
You don't want my opinion. My opinion is there isn't a proper way to do it with somebody else. I know, like you say, if somebody waves you in and the fishing's so good and you want to enjoy what they're also enjoying, I think that that's fine, and I think that you described it the best, and you just need to... I think that in any of those scenarios, the guy that put the extra work in that found it deserves to have his opportunity at it. And I know that it's everybody's ocean and there's no rules and there's no you have this or you have that. But I think that the respect for the guy that did it first, man, it's not – if there's a guy that's got a kelp in an area that's got good water and it's holding fish, there's going to be another one. And I think your job is to find that other one. But in terms of doing it right, if you are going to share a kelp, exactly, you want to approach very slow. You want to approach so that you're not going to, exactly as you described, not drift on top of it, come down the side of it, make sure to give very appropriate distance. So you should be, you know, multiple.
Triple
exactly.
Cast length.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, not a cast length away, but triple that.
And here's a scenario, too, Scott, is... I don't know if you realize, or you know, the listeners realize, but not always. When there's a spot of tuna or there's a spot of yellows on a kelp, they're not always right on the kelp.
Totally.
Watch a sport boat. Watch the way they do it, and they use the sonar, and a lot of times that fish will be a football field away in a circumference. They'll actually travel around that kelp, and the kelp is the focal point, but it's not... the fact that they're literally underneath the kelp always.
Yeah. And I am just not a fan at any scenario of setting up on a kelp that somebody else is on. I just don't think that that's the right move. Like you say, there are ways that are more right than others, and it would be to set up well above it. And, you know, sprinkle a little bit of bait, that fish will find you. But I'm with you to just, you know, drive up to what somebody else has already got going on and park your way on top of it is just never the right move.
I'll tell you what, Rick and Scott, the next guy on hold here, Dave Hansen is going to have some very good words for you, Scott, if you want to stand by.
I didn't see we had Dave on there. Yeah, I'm sure he will have an opinion on it as well. But I know that your end result was great because you shared some great photos with it. And I know you guys got to enjoy some of that killer grade of yellowtail fishing that's on that local kelp right now, huh, Sherm?
Yeah, we got into this one kelp that we pulled about 7 of them off of this kelp. And the biggest one went 29 pounds, and the smallest was about 18. It was
Jeez. Just great, serious
kelp patty fish, and it wasn't those rats, you know. And I think a lot of times, too, when people are sliding kelp, they don't pay attention to the angle of their motor and their rudder, so they inadvertently drift too damn close to the patty instead of paying attention to where that drift is, staying off of it a little bit and bringing the fish to you instead of trying to go to the instead of, you know, parking right on top of the damn thing.
Yep. Great call. Well, glad you guys had such success. And, yeah, fantastic grade of fish, Sherm. Nice going. Glad you enjoyed it. And thanks for the report.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, man.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Well, with that, yeah, let's talk to the guy that I'm sure has a good opinion on that, Corey.
Yeah, your fishdope.com reporter, your saltwaterguide.com. It's sponsored by the Catch Report, sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fishman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns into San Diego landings, Rick, as well as your private boat catch, now with Fish Pros Market, You can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerkied fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and now their famous tuna burgers along with the amazing poke kit. They are now open at the Taylor Street location in Old Town. Call for details or order online at fishmansprocessing.com.
What do you think about it, your saltwater guide? What do we do about kelp patties there, Mr. Dave Hansen?
What's your 4 cents worth?
Yeah.
I have a whole seminar on that. I have a couple of really funny videos about it, too. I'm like Rick and Corey. If I see a couple boats stopped on a patty, I'm going as far away from those guys as I can. I don't want to get near somebody else's patty. And please, if you see me parked on a patty, stay as far away as you can because it's not going to be a good day for you.
Yeah.
I promise.
That's
just me, though.
I'm the same. There's a lack of respect out there for the guy that tried harder or got there earlier or got there first, and it's just that's the thing. And I know that it's nobody's ocean and this, that, and the other, but it is just not my style at all. Just be stoked that you're in a zone that has the right water. You're going to find one. You got nine of the 10 pieces put together. You just haven't found yours yet.
And more often than not, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've seen one and then another one, there's usually a line, and you're going to, somewhere within a mile or two, you're going to find probably another little piece of kelp, maybe of your own.
Totally.
Absolutely. Well, like I always say, I spent $6,000 on my pair of binoculars. I spent the whole day staring at them to find that piece of kelp. I finally found it. No, you can't come in on my patty. I just spent the whole day looking for it. Are you out of your mind? God, please. I'm sorry you don't have any binoculars and you don't feel like looking in your fishing for boats. But stay in the harbor. There's a million boats in the harbor.
Yeah, good stuff, Dave.
All right.
There's certainly some good fishing out there, Dave. I do know that. And, you know, and with that said, there has been some great kelping and some great fishing that has gone on. And I know that you've been keeping very good track on it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got a highlight. There was some phenomenal bluefin fishing from the kayaks in Dana Point. I don't know if you guys saw all those posts on Facebook, but my good buddy Bill, who fishes normally sheephead and soupfin sharks and stuff out of Dana, he got a 74-pound bluefin on his kayak yesterday. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah, and he paddled from the mouth of the harbor out, and he was just outside. He said he was in 450 feet of water where he caught his fish right in front of the harbor.
Incredible.
So it's on Facebook, Bill Morales. Go look. It's pretty unbelievable. Gillen gutted. The thing weighed 66 pounds.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Awesome.
So pretty spectacular fishing. You know, that's almost what we've been waiting for with Gundy, saying that they caught it in the surf. From a kayak paddled out of the harbor, that's almost in the surf. I'll call that in the surf.
That's close enough for me.
But and then up north, you know, Newport, up to San Pedro. I don't know if you guys saw the Native Son. He had limits of bluefin a couple days ago, which is absolutely unbelievable. I'll bet there, you look back in his logbooks for the history of the making of the Native Son, I'll bet you there's not too many days where he had limits of bluefin. You know, pretty unbelievable fishing. That's the three-quarter day boat that leaves out of San Pedro at 7 o'clock in the morning and the guy catches limits of bluefin. It is a great time to be a fisherman. And then San Clemente Island, when the guys get done fishing bluefin, they slide into the island, long-range boats, everybody's over there catching yellowtail. You don't have to fish the kelp patties. You go over there, anchor up. There's phenomenal yellowtail fishing on the front side of Clemente right now. Catalina's not disappointing. Catalina, Rick, right now, you can spend your day at Catalina anchored up on the spot fishing for bluefin. And Ricky, you were talking about smallest hook. Here's what my guys are doing. Number 6 or number 8, thin wire hook, J hook, not circle because it's going to be almost impossible with that little tiny hook to hook them in the corner of the mouth. But they're using J hooks, 12-pound or 15-pound, and they're actually catching bluefin on the anchor on the front side of Catalina within the 9 million boats and the 55,000 sea lions, and they're still catching bluefin on the anchor at Catalina. It's unbelievable times right now.
Yeah.
So cool.
That's beautiful. That's light line and small hooks. And that's, you know, 35, 38 years ago, first bluefin I ever caught, 12 pounds, 14, between 12 and 14 pounds in the middle grounds, like a size 4 and just tiny light line, 14 pounds or something crazy, you know. So, very similar. It's so historical what's going on, Dave.
Yeah, it's Squitter Jr. back then. Remember, Corey? You had to have a Squitter Jr. You had to have a Squitter Jr. You either had a plastic spool or a metal spool, and usually halfway, you couldn't cast the metal spool, so you used the plastic spool, then halfway through the battle, the reel would blow up, and you'd handline it.
You're right on target. That's it, man.
The good old days are right now.
Yeah, they are. I agree with you. We've talked about it. These are the good old days, and whether you're fishing sea bass, calicos, whether it's bluefin out in front of Dana Harbor, hey, the half-day boat out of Newport catching a 130-pounder, these are the good old days and historical times.
No doubt. If somebody wants to keep in track with how to catch them, you do such a good job with the information on your website, Your Saltwater Guide. What do we do to be a part of that and get in on all the great info you're sharing, Dave?
Kelp
etiquette, and then listening to you guys talk about calico bass fishing, that's the only kind of fishing I want to do.
Yeah.
If I get to go fishing, I'm going calico bass fishing. But yoursaltwaterguide.com, check out my website right now. We're giving away 14 free days, so you can go there and look at the website for free for 14 days and go see what everybody's talking about. That's yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will be ready for another phenomenal report next Sunday.
Awesome. Well, great job, buddy. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you keeping us up to date with what's going on Fish Dope and all the great information that you share with Danny and Jeff and back and forth. There's a reason it works so good. It's a bunch of fishermen all together sharing info, and they put it together for you. And if you want to save $20 off of a new membership to fishdope.com, use the code HOOKUPNOW. HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $20. Dave, great job. Appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys, have a great week. Bye.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, good stuff. And brought to you by Anza Knives, handcrafted knives in the USA for over three decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series and the custom bluefin and yellowfin from Anza Knives, made from a high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza Knives also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com or for more. The Fish Pro Series going on Fisherman's Processing. See, hey, Sean and the boys.
When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. The phones are packed, the texts are lined up, and a lot more of the Rick and Corey. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup. Love coming on the Mightier 1090 or on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like a fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop. Right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
Hey, this is Rosie from Cedro Sport Fishing. Cedro Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedro Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We are the only lodge to offer all of our guests a direct flight departing to the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge and first-class meals and service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out CedroSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and Rick and Corey having a great time in studio and giving away an awesome assortment of Seaguar fluorocarbon. One lucky caller at 213-432-1090.
Phones are just fun. Yeah, it's super fun. I always enjoy the show so much, just lots of BS and having a good time and doing what we all like doing on the weekend. That's talking about fishing and talking with you. The phone lines have been absolutely packed, solid. Texts have been coming through. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I mean, a really good question that came through via our text, and it just kind of goes along similar line that a lot of questions have been, Corey, and that's with Spectra. Says, good morning, Rick and Corey. Great show today. Could you talk about casting with Spectra? What am I doing wrong? My line digs into the line below the reel, and it doesn't come off freely when I'm casting. Any tips to help me along?
Rick, I think you hit it on target earlier, so make sure it's on spool tight, mm-hmm. you know, and from minute one, from the first spooling, make sure it's on tight. And in a kelp, like some of the worst scenarios, I've made 100 casts, and you hang up in the kelp, and, you know, you put all the pressure on the spool as you're trying to get it out, and your next cast, it then hangs up, you know. So it's kind of, there's like little things that happen, and making sure the line's not twisted.
Right.
Have twisted Spectra, I don't care how tight you have it on there, it's just a pain when you go to make a cast. And the cast control, too, don't have it too loose.
Right.
The looser you have it, the more the spool wants to move. The spool moves faster than the line can come off.
Right.
So it's like pre-backlash kind of scenario.
And, you know, inshore fishing, we're often fishing with our tranks or our Corrado, and we have a level wind. But if you're fishing an open reel, stacking your Spectra even is just
difficult.
So important for it to come back off. You know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, people like casting for their surface iron with that Tranks 500 or 400, whatever you use. And that's one of the reasons it casts braid so well, is that level wind forces your line to be. It's multiple things. It's a variable braking system, like Corey's describing right there. The two free of spool is very difficult to manage with Spectra. Mono's just a lot more forgiving when it comes off the reel, and Spectra is a lot lesser. So that braking system aids in that a lot, and also the fact that the level wind stacks your line perfect is a really big deal with Spectra. It's just a lot less forgiving line to cast when you're casting it as a main line.
And it might be, you know, another thing that just came to mind too, Rick, is having too thin a diameter of Spectra.
Another great call.
Like if you have 20-pound or 30-pound, that could be really a pain sometimes. And the 50-pound is thick enough that you can do almost anything, but if you're trying to cast a 2-ounce lure, like even the Weedless, you know, altogether weighs probably 2 ounces.
Right.
And that's why it's so much easier to do with 65.
Spectra's like the opposite in casting mono. The larger the diameter, the much easier it is to cast. Casting 65, so much easier than 50-40. Casting 80, so much easier than 65-40. Casting 100, easier. You know, I mean, it's just that bigger line casts so much easier when it comes to braid.
You're right. Hopefully that helps you out. And you know, the listeners listening, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it's a huge deal.
Totally.
It is.
Well, the phones are packed. Everybody's fired up. Let's jump back into them, Corey.
How about John? John from Escondido. Good morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, Corey, last Saturday when we were at the Ford dealership, you talked about, and I didn't catch the beginning of it, but you talked about rigging this hook with a sinker below it that was inline.
Yeah.
What size hook and who makes that hook?
Well, it's a drop shot rig, mm-hmm. and we talked about drop shotting for spotties or halibut.
I was listening on the app. I caught it.
Did you? Yeah. But we were also off air talking, and maybe possibly on air, I don't remember, but talking about ling cod drop shotting with Pete. So the exact hook for the drop shot bait, like if you went into Fisherman's Landing right now and asked for, you know, where's Corey's drop shot bait, they'd point you. And the hook that goes with that is an owner 5-aught twist lock hook. You can probably get away with the Gamakatsu makes a very similar hook, unweighted version of their swim bait mm-hmm. hook. And if you got it in the 5-aught, that'll work. And the only thing I do is I change out the centering pin spring. Mm-hmm. I put a large one on
put
there.
A heavier duty one.
A little more heavy duty. It's just a little bit larger. Holds it better. Tie your main line at the top of the hook. Tie your sinker line at the bottom. And hold on.
I know you did what I thought was a great job in describing it, but it's difficult. You know, if you haven't seen it, it's just difficult to visualize.
It is.
But it's the eye of the hook is orientated differently than you're used to. You know, 99% of the hooks are all the same way. There's the bend of the hook and it goes up, and then the eye that you tie your line to, you'd call it flat or it goes left to right. This is a hook where the line tie is just turned 90 degrees to that, so it's straight up and down instead of to
exactly.
the side.
Yeah, so when you have your sinker on the bottom and your main line on top, everything is straight in line
mm-hmm.
from top to bottom. And that rig, give your sinker anywhere from 24 to 30 inch of a leader, and in the surf, in the bay, you will kill with that thing. The halibut love it. I've caught surf perch on that. Like
that's cool.
Even 3/4 of a pound surf perch know that, you know, where to kill that thing and get the point of the hook. But the spotties in the bay through the eelgrass, totally weedless. It's a great thing to go get a skiff from Johnny at Dana Landing and take a youngster and have fun and be weed free and get bit because you're right on the bottom.
And a very easy rig to fish because you kind of can't screw it up.
You can't do it wrong.
You cast it out, and no matter what movement you give on the rod, it's being amplified by that bait, and that sinker is anchoring you to the bottom, or at least it's not coming back super fast. So every shake or every movement of the rod, that bait is just dancing around. And when a fish climbs on, you direct right to them.
And so the more you dance it around, just imagine putting like a 5-inch anchovy on. The more that thing's darting around, the harder the bite. And just imagine a whole scenario. But John, appreciate you joining us. We had a great time up in the North County Ford.
That sounded like it. Yeah, that sounded like a really cool day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, appreciate that very much, John. Let's jump back into him, Corey.
Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck from Long Beach. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, Rick, you know, spent all this money getting ready for big tuna, and now all of a sudden it's a smaller tuna and light line and fly line. What's a good budget setup to go after them with?
Favorite budget setup for like stealth, you know, catching a bluefin right now with 25-pound line would be a Torium 16. I like a Torium 16.
Totally affordable reel.
You know, under $250.
Yeah.
But still, great free spool, really good torque, very appropriate for fishing 25-pound line. And same deal, if I was doing keeping everything on a budget, I would fish a Terramar inshore style rod, the X-Shrink style handle, and I would fish an 80mh. 8-foot bait rod, plenty comfortable. It's a moderately fast tapered rod. Fish 25-pound, no problem. Would be a great outfit. The whole thing, you know, you're probably looking $400 or so. I know that's not cheap, but, you know, that would certainly be affordable, but still enough quality that that's going to last you for a long time and have no
versatile.
Downsides.
Be mm-hmm. versatile, Ricky. I mean, you could use that for any type of bait scenario, from bluefin, yellowtail fishing at the islands, whatever scenario.
You can still cast a Colt Sniper with it. You can get a long enough rod. You've got enough guts in a reel. So that would be my favorite on a budget, like you said, you nailed it best. We all budgeted up and bought our Talica 20 and heavy line, and all of a sudden the thing switched gears on us or biting light line. This big fish, though, I will say 100%. Yeah. It does the same thing to us every year. It's already done it twice this season. It'll circle back around. It'll be a moon phase change. It'll be a condition change. It'll be a something, but with 100% certainty, we will again in the next coming weeks be talking about big fish and big flat falls again for sure. It just does what it does. But what's cool is that we have this completely different, other very fun fishing that we're doing in between waiting for that big fish to cycle back around again. And it's a fish that, like you say, we can do it with gear that's a lot easier on the budget, and fish that are, you know, when you hook one with appropriate tackle,
manageable.
The success rate is a whole lot higher than those 200-pounders. But hey, appreciate the call very much. Another fun text came through. It says, had a great extended day and a half trip on the Searcher. Our group of 15 all caught bluefin in a plunker bite. Kudos to Art and the crew. We literally fished day and night to get the job done. Many thanks. We recognize that the fleet has had to add staff and sacrifice some sleep to get us all in the fish. And that's from our buddy Dave in Poway. So
man,
great.
15 on the Searcher.
Oh, could you imagine? That's so cool.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Beautiful time.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump back into the phone.
Let's do it. Chuck from Dana Point. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Hey,
say
guys.
Again. What's up, Chuck?
One end of the spectrum to the other, huh? Calico and bluefin.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you guys, me and my kids go out on these calico trips, and we use that yellow dart head, and we try to do without them, but the yellow just, we do triple hookups, and people are like going to Hogan's and Longfin asking Eric and these guys. These three guys with this yellow head, but I'm telling you, the color what's been knocking it dead for us is that new penny. And
knocking. Penny.
So here I am up Fifth Street in Laguna, and I point out to the lady, see that guy in the skiff out there? See all that water around him? I bet you he's catching tuna. She goes, oh, really? They didn't have no clue, these people. I thought, oh, my God. I'm just sitting here with the view of the century, and I'm up there biting my lip. That's just pure torture.
Yeah, crazy.
That's that gold label, man. I could help people. Sometimes that's the catching and not catching, having that 20, 25-pound gold label. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we've been talking about the gold label, but that chartreuse, the bright yellow head, it so makes a difference. I don't know what it is. It's so true.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call very much. Corey, another fun text came through. Good morning, guys. This is Sid from Irvine. I heard you talking earlier about the Tranks 400. I have one, but I haven't matched it to a rod yet. Any suggestions? I love all kinds of things, CalStars, Phoenix, Seeker, Shimano. What do you like for both inshore fishing and kelp paddy fishing?
For myself, Rick, I had it on a Signature Series Seeker 7-foot 708.
The Corey Inshore Pro Series.
Yeah, it's exactly it. And that matter is 709. You know, you want to beef it up. 20 to 40-pound on the 709 or the like a 12 to 20-pound rod on the 708. That's my moneymaker in the help. That 12 to 20 pound 708.
Again, you want to talk about an extremely versatile thing, too. I mean, that might be your rod for kelp paddy fishing, but I mean, a perfect rod for, again, kelp paddy, yellowtail, Dorado, things like that. I mean, the rod's got plenty of beef, very comfortable. I really like the grips on your rod, too. You know, it's like a split grip, but the Hypalon's not super skinny. Some of those bass rods
are too skinny.
Their weight, yeah.
I can't handle.
Everybody wants them to weigh nothing, so they make the grips down to next to nothing or raw blank, and I like that there's some beef. It fits in your hand really
well. It's ergonomic, when I use too skinny of a rod, my fingers hurt me, man. It's just like trying to get the fingers around the rod isn't easy.
I just feel like your signature series was more. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was built with fishing in mind, lesser than like the eye appeal in the rack. You know, everybody's trying to get this feather weight, feather nothing, and this thing was built by a fisherman. Yeah.
The 708, whether I'm fishing the bay for 1 pound spotties or I'm fishing the kelp for an 8 pound calico. I was using it trying to catch a 30-pound tuna.
That's cool. I like it. We're going to jump into the phones, but I did have to read this text because I thought it was fun. It's from Mike in Torrance, and it's a throwback, and it says, Corey, what's your favorite plastic to catch an albacore on the slide?
Oh, can you imagine? Any baitfish color, really. I mean, Barry's the one that made the Channel Island Chovy, like the deal, right? But when it all comes down to it, it's just a baitfish pattern, you know? thinking back, you could probably slow troll one of those, like Paul Lepore was saying way back. I bet you can get bit.
Yeah. In the old days of albacorin, I remember when it was really tough to get a jig strike, that was always the thing. You didn't often get multiples, and it often didn't result in a bait stop, but when it was really tough to pick one off,
you would get bit on it.
A single fish trap
way
forever back.
Yeah.
Channel Island Chovy, 5-inch, would always like, and you could make a day just picking off single jig strikes.
And that's a sport boat scenario, okay? But imagine the private boat scenario where bait is an issue, and you typically in albacore years, you're talking 3 to 4 inch anchovy that doesn't want to live well.
Totally.
And if you bring 35-inch swim baits with you, that's almost like a scoop of bait. You're that far ahead of the game.
Yeah, totally.
You know, seriously, the weather's usually not too friendly, so you might be moving 7 or 8 knots in your private boat. Put them back a few bow lengths, man. You'll get bit right in the prop wash on those too.
They love those. Yeah. There's just no doubt about it.
Man, that's definitely bringing it back. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than the Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains and the Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
For all your insurance needs, Snap Insurance is your top choice, providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. Work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Get advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1.5 to 5 gig fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
Hey anglers, FBO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with FBO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out FBO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at FBO.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And Rick, we had one lucky caller, one that assortment of Seaguar fluorocarb. Man, I wish that was mine.
I know.
But it's going to Chuck. Chuck and Dana Point, congratulations.
Yeah, you're stoked, yeah. Chuck. Certainly a great prize and certainly a great timing for a prize like that. Right. With all this bluefin fishing going on and all the everything fishing going on. That Seaguar is just the thing. It's one of those deals where whether you're fishing calicos and you're using that fluorocarbon for that abrasion resistance and, you know, and keeping the, you know, keeping the teeth off of you and kind of lasting all day, fishing heavy line, getting a bite, whether you're stealth bluefin fishing with 25 and 30-pound gold label right now, whether you're sinker fishing with 50 and 60 or putting a piece of 220 blue label on for your, you know, the flat fall of your knife jig, it sure got a place
now. And that gold, you know, it costs a few dollars more, but you're only using 2-3 feet at a time.
Totally,
It's not that much larger of an investment for something that is – I have found to be really crucial to what I'm doing.
And you're talking literally a few dollars more. You know, I mean, it's a couple of bucks, you know, for the gold versus some of the other. Not that the others don't have their place. They certainly do. But I'm with you. That gold is just kind of taken over for me, too. I really like it. Well, Corey, what a fun show. We're bummed to have missed Ryan, and we'll hopefully be able to get him rescheduled and get back in here. But I had such a great time. This is always one of my favorite shows. I'm glad we've got to do a couple of them of the more recent. It's so much fun BSing and talking fishing with you, because I know you're like myself, that this is what we do, and my most favorite thing to get to do and talk about, and let the show just go where it is. And I had a great time with you. That was a lot of fun.
I'm going to send too, Rick. A lot of fun with you, and just the freelance show. It's fun. Let the callers dictate it and have a great time.
Yeah, it's always fun to see the direction that it goes. You know, we did this exact same thing 2 weeks ago, and it was all calico bass. This time it was all, you know, bluefin and a mix of inshore and technical and gears, and it's always different and always a lot of fun. And we have a great time. And I know there's not a need because you're so busy, but drop shot baits, weedless baits, all the stuff we're talking about. I know you're super, super busy, but your stuff always available kind of at a lot of the premium tackle stores in the area up and down the coast.
It is.
Is that the right way to say it, I guess?
It is. I mean, all the shops I'm in, there's like 20 some shops I'm in. Oh, yeah, all the way down to St. Louis and beyond,
dig it. Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, man. A great time, and I'll look forward to the next time that you and I get to do it together real soon. And we'll look forward to having you next week. Another great set of shows. Pete's going to be back in the studio fresh from Queen Charlotte Safaris. We'll look forward to hearing that great report. We'll look forward to more of your phone calls, more catch reports, and more. A big thanks to JP keeping us on the air. A big thanks to Adam taking care of us on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And an even bigger thanks to you. Thanks for letting Corey and I be with you for a couple hours. And we'll look forward to talking to you next weekend right here, Saturday and Sunday.